The debate over what to do about deer continues around the country and certainly here in Michigan. Botanists are up in arms because deer are causing local extinctions of several native plant species. Meanwhile, hunters want to manage forests to increase deer herds. That's alarming ecologists. Animal rights activists, they're opposed to thinning deer herds by culling. And gardeners continue to watch in frustration as deer eat up much of their expensive landscaping. And of course, Michigan has one of the nation's highest rates of car versus deer accidents, which has been a big toll to property and to human well-being. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest this morning is Randy Baker. Randy is the owner and chief naturalist for Naturalist Endeavors. That's a company based in Columbiaville, Michigan, just a bit northeast of Flint. Randy has 11 years of university training in biology and wildlife ecology, 3 years of PhD work on white-tailed deer, and 25 years' experience as a professional naturalist. He is also an avid hunter and gardener. Randy, good morning, and thank you for joining us on WEMU.
Well, good morning. Glad to be here.
Well, depending on who you talk to, there are different answers to this question. Do you believe there is deer overpopulation in Michigan?
Way too many deer. And I view that, and I love to hunt deer. I mean, so most hunters want to have more deer, but, you know, my philosophy is I'd rather sit in the forest a little longer and have a good, healthy habitat. I'd rather see fewer deer and healthier deer.
Well, what are some of the ecological threats that deer are posing at current herd levels?
Well, right now, they're destroying some plants, as you said in your introduction, to where they're actually disappearing. We can no longer grow Canada yew in our forests, white cedar swamps. We cannot regenerate them. There'll be a habitat that'll be lost forever. We can't grow new sugar maple forests. The seedlings last a year or two, and then they're destroyed by the deer. The other problem they have is when they destroy that vegetation, they're destroying the food sources for birds and insects, and butterfly populations decline when deer show up, and everything seems to suffer when there's an overpopulation of white-tailed deer.
And, of course, you know, animal rights groups will tell you that it is human overpopulation and insufficient habitat for deer and all other wildlife that is really the core of the problem.
It's often a misconception that we've destroyed deer habitat. It's kind of strange. Deer are an animal of what we call ecotones or edges, where two types of habitats touch. That's what a deer likes. Northern Michigan in particular used to be massive forests, and that we would have considered really relatively poor quality deer habitat. As soon as you make an opening in the forest, a field, now you've just created what deer prefer. I lead wildlife tours down to Central and South America, and you go to the middle of the rainforest where it's solid forest, there's very few deer. But as soon as you make an opening in it, their population increases. And that's what we humans do just by how we live. We actually improve habitat by how we create edges for them.
Now, you've been hunting for over 30 years, and there are many hunters that believe there should be more deer, more opportunity, but you've already stated that that is not your particular belief. So would you just prefer that we be allowed to kill off more deer during each hunting season?
It's almost hard to thin out more deer than we already have. Now, this year the season was pretty liberal because they're trying to reduce the deer population, the DNR is. This year, you could actually buy 5 doe permits a day starting on September 6th and buy them through literally December 31st.
And the chances of getting 5 in a day are unlikely.
Right. Well, but you could buy 5 licenses. And in theory, you could buy hundreds of licenses before the season was over. But, of course, nobody can kill that many deer. Nobody has enough time to go out. And the deer are elusive enough that you give them a little bit of hunting pressure and they bed down and become more nocturnal.
So if not via hunting, how best to thin out herds?
It is really a difficult situation. To be honest, it is a catch-22. Any reduction you can do in herds by hunting is an asset. But to be honest, trying to control them with our modern methods is going to be extremely difficult. They can add to a population by 30 to 40% per year. Over the George Preserve over by Pinckney, they did an experiment years ago. They started with a population of 6 deer, 4 does and 2 bucks. 5 years later, they counted 160, and they know they missed a few. They think it was closer to 200.
That's pretty incredible growth.
Yeah, and that's just right there in Washtenaw County's backyard. The only thing deer hunting really does will actually reduce the pressure on the plants, gives the vegetation a little better chance to survive. And in reality, that'll provide food, at least on a temporary basis, for other species, birds and insects, and even help the surviving deer to become healthier.
You're listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and our guest this morning is Randy Baker. He is the owner and chief naturalist for Naturalist Endeavors, and we're discussing what to do about deer and how best to maintain a healthy environment in dealing with deer. Well, Randy, car versus deer accidents are very expensive in terms of property damage on the healthcare system for the injured and, in worst-case scenarios, loss of human life. How do we balance the need for game management, forest management, and the unchanging truth that humans will continue to encounter deer?
They are simply going to encounter them. I don't know if there's actually a way we're ever going to stop car deer accidents. That's just going to be an impossibility. But one thing we do find is, at least I tend to observe, I'm always looking for car deer accidents along the road, seeing where they're hitting and where they're not. And sometimes, believe it or not, actually allowing brush to grow not too far away from the road is actually safer. In the aspect that deer tend to stand in there until cars go by, when a deer's found out in the open, they sometimes panic and then run across the road. Not to say that brushes would be a cure-all, but I do find that sometimes they tend to panic more when they're in an open area. So I don't know if we can manage our highways a little differently, allowing more habitat out to the sides. I don't really know. But I do know that even in Washtenaw County, last year there were over 1,100 car deer accidents.
Yeah, it is. There are times of the year where it's almost inevitable.
Yeah, they're averaging, in November in Michigan, we average one car deer accident reported every 3 minutes and 45 seconds. And we know only half get reported, so every minute and a half, basically, somebody's having an encounter with a white-tailed deer here in Michigan.
Well, with all that we've discussed thus far in mind, what is your sense of the political attitude in Lansing right now regarding deer management?
As a deer biologist, you probably could not pay me enough to work for a government agency. They're literally between a rock and a hard place. They really are. Hunters, of course, want more deer. And if you don't see them, if you have a season for whatever reason, they're moving at night, they're more nocturnal or whatever, you don't have a good kill, then hunters are upset. They simply believe there's no deer out there. And so they want more. And, of course, the farmers want less. So you've always got somebody coming at you, no matter what you do. I know a couple years ago, the DNR sets up a quota. They want to have certain populations in certain areas. And they weren't even reaching the quota, which was actually trying to lower the population. And yet they backed off on the number of deer they allowed hunters a couple years ago, simply because people were, whining and crying and complaining they weren't seeing the deer. And so, sometimes people say, well, they don't listen. Sometimes they do listen, and they make their decisions based on input, not from biologists, make decisions not based on science, but by on keeping people happy. In wildlife management, there's always been two types of controls for, managing wildlife. One is called carrying capacity. How many animals can you have before they start degrading or lowering the quality of the habitat? But in recent years, they've also had to consider social carrying capacity. And that can sometimes be how many animals people will tolerate. Too many, people don't like it. That's might limit the social carrying capacity. Too few, and other people don't like it. So they're between that rock and hard place as to some wanting more, some wanting less. And sometimes I believe science is actually compromised, trying to keep people happy. Reality is you'll never make everybody happy no matter what you do. And as a biologist, my preference is, we live on one earth. We all live here. My preference is having good quality habitat for white-tailed deer of the future, our birds, our flowers. They've even canceled flower festivals in western Michigan. Not enough of them left anymore because of the white-tailed deer eating them.
Well, let's say I could wave a wand and eliminate politics and bureaucracy and put you in charge. What would be your recommendation for long-term management?
Well, first of all, they'd probably hang me. They probably would not be a happy camper. Because to be honest, when you figure out what white-tailed deer consume in a day, typically about 8 pounds a day, summer, winter, fall, that adds up to 2,000 to 3,000 pounds a year. So when you got a population right now of 1.7 million deer consuming that much day after day, it leaves nothing for other things. To be honest, to actually allow habitats to actually recover, I would estimate we need a population of about a third of what we have right now. But that's just not going to happen because it'd be political suicide. That's why I don't work for. I used to work for state parks in Oklahoma, so I know what it's like working for the government. And you just couldn't do that and keep a job here in Michigan.
Well, Randy, unfortunately, our time has come out. There's so much more to discuss, so perhaps we'll have to revisit the topic again in the future.
Well, I would look forward to that.
Well, thank you so much. That is Randy Baker, and Randy is the owner and chief naturalist for Naturalist Endeavors. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to another installment of Issues of the Environment, a cooperative effort of the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and the News Department at 89.1 WEMU.